Good morning. Morning, everybody here, and morning, everybody online who's watching. When I was growing up, I had a good relationship with my dad. He was a good father, but he wasn't very practical. And, you know, I'm not saying anything untoward here. He'd be the first person to say that he wasn't very practical. And he even one time papered the downstairs hallway, putting on the pattern upside down. So the plants grew downwards and the pots were on top. And Tim was standing with me in the hall one day and he said jokingly to my dad as he was finishing, hey, it'd be funny if you put this on upside down. And when we looked at it, we realized he had. And the good thing about my dad was he was very easygoing and it didn't bother him too much. Well, some years before that, my sister wanted a doll's house for Christmas. And she said she wanted quite a big one, so that would be quite a lot of money. So my dad offered to make her one. So he made this doll's house, which seemed quite substantial. And on Christmas morning was the great unveiling. And there was this doll's house. So my sister played with it for a while. And then my mum said, we've got people coming for lunch. Could you move the doll's house? And as my dad lifted the doll's house, so the first floor fell onto the ground floor, and my sister was left with a bungalow with a very, very tall ceiling. Not my father's greatest skill. You know, if Jesus had built my sister a doll's house, I think it would have been wonderful. I think it would have been perfect, because he was a carpenter's son, and I imagine he was a real craftsman. I thought, wouldn't it have been wonderful to have got the revelation of who Jesus was and then discover you've bought a stool or a bowl or something that he had made? You see, the thing about Jesus is he's a builder. He wants things strengthened and he wants to improve things. He wants to make things better. The problem with the enemy is he is all about destruction. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And in Jesus' ministry, there were many analogies between his practical life and spiritual life. In 1 Peter 2, verse 5, he says, we are living stones built into a spiritual house. Matthew 7, verse 24, they are like wise builders building on the rock. And Jude 1, verse 20, build yourself up in your most holy faith. At the end of the day, you and I are simply a team of builders. That's what we're called to do. If we had a van, it would say on the side, Kingdom Builders, because that's what God has called us to do. We don't build walls of exclusivity. We build walls of strength. We build walls for the protection of the vulnerable. We build walls for our children, so we pass on a legacy. We build walls into a community of justice where there is abuse and prejudice and unrighteousness. That is what God has called us to build. So we build personal walls. We build corporate communal walls here in the church, and we are called to build walls out in the community. And this morning I thought we would go on a journey of how do you build a wall. And we're going to look at Nehemiah, as Sarah spoke of before. And we're going to start in Nehemiah 1 verse 4. If you've got your Bibles or your phones or whatever technology you might work with, we're going to look at Nehemiah 1 verse 4. And Nehemiah was a Jew in exile. He was working as a cupbearer to the king, and some of his brothers came from Jerusalem, and he asked them, how are the walls in that city, the walls of protection? And the men said to him, they're broken down. And you, a lot of people would have said, oh dear, that's a shame, isn't it? Oh well, never mind, maybe something will be done in the future. But Nehemiah wept. He actually wept about broken walls. And I want to say to you this morning, if you're unsure about your calling, if you're not quite sure what your destiny in God is, what causes you to weep? What so touches your heart that it's more than, oh, yeah, I'm interested in that. Yeah, if you like. It's something that grabs you in your heart. Years ago, when I worked in a church in Ireland, there were a lot of young people milling about. They were quite an unruly bunch, and they wouldn't come in for the preaching. And I saw them all around the sort of foyer area. And it really got to me. I thought, these kids are being brought to church, but they're not receiving the word of God. And so I went home and I just cried out to God. I said, God, what can I do? I'm not terribly equipped. You know, I've never done youth work before. But I see these kids and I want them. I want to put some seed of good stuff inside them. And God gave me favor with 25 kids in one small room on a Sunday morning. They all came in and some of them came off this Ballysally Estate, which is a notoriously rough IRA estate in Ireland. And for 18 months, 2 years, I taught those children along with Samantha, and then it really sort of wore me out after a period. But it all came because I remember crying out to God on the dining room table and saying, God, I care about these kids. I can't see them come into church and not receive the word of God. And Nehemiah wept, and he prayed, and he fasted, and he took his time. When you have a vision, take your time. He didn't rush into the king. He waited on his moment, and then he had access to the king, who said to him, you look downcast. And he explained about the walls of Jerusalem. And the king gave him favor and said, go and build the walls. What you have to remember about Nehemiah is he's about to build a wall and he's not a builder. So this is going to be quite an interesting exercise. So we find in Nehemiah 2 verse 13, it says, after dark, I went out through the valley gate, past the jackal's well, and over to the dung gate to inspect the broken walls and the burnt gates. He went out to inspect the walls. You know, before you build anything, we have to be honest about the state of the brokenness. We have to look at the situation and say, how badly broken are these walls? You know, if you build on something where there is rubble and rubbish, it's a bit like those houses they build sometimes, you know. And then after a while, the smell comes up inside the house because they've built on toxic ground and they didn't clear the ground properly. So he looked at the walls. The problem with broken walls is they attract rubbish. You know what it's like if you see a fence or a wall broken down. People think, oh, I could put my fish and chip boxes in that. So they sling them over. They crunch up their tin cans and they fire those over the wall and their crisp packets and then perhaps empty their pockets of cigarettes, cartons and sweet papers, and it all goes in. And then at night, along comes the white van. A couple of people get out and they pull out the mattress, the old mattress someone doesn't want anymore, and they fling the old mattress over the broken wall, and out comes the washing machine that doesn't work, and the bike with one wheel, and the unloved toys. They all go over the broken wall, and so it gets full of rubbish. And God says to us, you've got to clear the ground of the rubbish before you can build anything. There is no other foundation but Jesus Christ. And sometimes we want to build on top of stuff that's there. And God says you need to clear the ground before you build the wall. And so Nehemiah has this huge vision. He's seen what needs to be done. But you know, sometimes when you've got a vision, it's very difficult to get it across to other people because it's embedded in your spirit, but God hasn't spoken to them, he's spoken to you. And then Nehemiah has this inspiration. He says in verse 4, verse 14, don't be afraid of the enemy, because the enemy has come, there's Sanballat and Tobiah, who are constantly verbally discouraging them. He says, don't be afraid of that enemy. Remember the Lord who is great and glorious, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and home. People needed vision. What a great vision. Why don't you build your walls for your grandchildren? Why don't you build up the walls for your children, your nieces, your nephews, the young people coming after you, the people that will come into the church that are broken and disorientated with life? Take that as your incentive. Don't just build for yourself. Build for those coming after you. Build a place of strength that people can come to. You know, when we have a church, we want to leave that legacy. We want to leave a legacy to the people behind us. So when you go to build, think about them. Even if they're not concerned about what you're doing, still build the walls anyway. And then Nehemiah had to say, how do we get everybody involved? And it says in 4 verse 15, when the enemy heard that we knew of their plans and that God had frustrated them, they saw God move in their situation, because Nehemiah was such a man of prayer. Everything he did was sandwiched with prayer. He knew that he wasn't a builder, but he knew that God could do the work. And it says, and that God had frustrated the enemy. Then we all return to work on the wall. What a great picture this is of unity, when everybody chooses to work on the wall, when everybody chooses to build their prayer life, when everybody in the church chooses to spend time in worship, in reading the Word of God. You know, a wall is made up of all sorts of stones. And your stone won't look like my stone. And I can't lift your stone, and you can't lift my stone. Because God has individually called us as living stones to build a wall together. So I can only do my part, but we need you to do your part to build the wall. Otherwise, the wall is going to have gaps in it. And what I love here is that everybody brought a stone. The kids probably brought little stones. The youth brought weightier stones, probably, because they're stronger. And the older people, maybe lighter stones. But it says everybody built the wall. And then I had this sort of vision of the wall, where on the outside, you know, on the end part of the walls, where the gates were, that's where the bricks of the evangelist would have been put. They put their bricks in near the gates because that's where the people would come in and the people would go out. And then in the heart of the wall, the bricks that were bought to build the heart of the wall, they were the pastoral ministries. Those that love people and nurture and care for them. Those in children's ministries and outreach ministries. They would be in the heart of the wall. And the bricks that were laid, or the stones that were laid on the top of the wall, they were the prophetic and the and the prayer, the watchman on the walls. You see, everybody is needed to build a wall. And if you don't build, if you don't bring your stone and build the wall, it'll be good for nothing, because God designed it to be put into this wall. And what's probably going to happen is people are just going to stumble over it. They're going to stumble over you because you're disconnected from the wall that God has designed you to come into. And then finally, in 4 verse 17, they had this continued attack from the enemy. And yet, all the time, Nehemiah was praying. He was encouraging the people, keep on building. We can do this. God is with us. The laborers carried on their work with one hand supporting their load and one hand supporting a weapon. All the builders had a sword belted to their side. Nehemiah made sure everybody had a sword. We can't build without the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And when people come through the door, we need to say to them, do you have a sword? And have you got your sword on? Let me tell you where you need to put your sword. You don't need to put your sword wedging open a door. You don't need to put your sword on the coffee table so that your cup won't stain the table. No, you need to take your sword and you need to strap it to the side of you so that your sword will be the closest part of you. It will be right next to you. So that whatever you're doing, the word of God is alive and is fresh in you for any circumstance, any suddenly that will happen. And we've had some suddenlies recently with people's health. We need the word of God. We need to speak the word of God. We need to have it strapped to the side of us. You know, too often in church life, we get caught up with the practical and we let go of the sword. And the sword starts to slip down our leg and we start to forget about it. We're in such a rush to do practicals sometimes that we let go of the spiritual and we don't even realize it's not strapped on anymore. But the priority for Nehemiah was, you must all have your swords, because we want to defeat this enemy who is verbally attacking us. And there is, I mean, obviously, normal warfare is terrible. But when you're right beside people that do nothing but discourage you all the time, you are only ever going to defeat that with the word of God and prayer. That's the weapon that we need. And so it says in 6 verse 15, on October the 2nd, the wall was finished just 52 days after it had begun. How amazing. 52 days. People that weren't builders. Can you imagine Gareth saying, hey, in the summer next year, we're going to build a wall and everybody can join in. I mean, it would be quite something, wouldn't it? But if God is with us and if God is guiding us, it can be done. And that is what God wants us to do in our personal, in our church, in our community lives. So just recapping over Nehemiah, what was the success of his building? Nehemiah was moved to do what he did. He had a passion, a compassion that drove him in his heart, and then he covered everything in prayer. He made an honest appraisal of the damage. All of us have had damaged walls. You can't live this life and not have damaged walls. But there comes a time you've got to clean out the rubble and say, you know, that was then, this is now. Pressing on, leaving what is behind, That is what God wants us to do. He wants us to clear the ground so we're ready to build. He created vision. He translated vision in such a way that people said, hey, you know what? It's worth fighting for my grandchildren. It's worth fighting for my children. It's worth fighting for those that are broken and disadvantaged. It's worth fighting for people like I was before I knew Jesus. It's worth building for them. And I love everybody built. Every one of us has a stone. Everyone, we are precious stones in God's sight. Not any old wall. We are precious stones. But we're all differently shaped. And we don't go up to someone else and say, oi, give me your stone. I don't like my stone. And wrestle them for their stone. No. We just say, God, how have you wired me? What's the stone you want me to carry? The yoke is easy, the burden's light. We soon know when we've got the wrong stone. And the laborers never let go of their swords. If we're going to build anything for God, we have to have the word of God. Apart from him, we can do nothing. So we recognize, God, if you want to build something, we need your word to build it. So let's choose today. Let's make a decision with the new year coming. We're looking as leadership to a time of devotionals, of prayer. What a great time to say, I'm going to build some walls now. I know you might say to me, have you seen my life? I've got all these children and I've got a stressful job or whatever. Well, a wall is not built immediately. It's built incrementally. So just take a small amount of time every day. Even if your life is crazy, build a little bit every day. And you'll be surprised after a few weeks the walls that you're building. Let's just pray, shall we? Father, I just thank you that the inspiration that the book of Nehemiah is, that you take someone who was not a builder and who built a wall, Father. And Father, we thank you that it's you that qualifies us, Lord God. It's you that enables us, Lord God. And I pray right now that everyone listening will understand that they have a place to build, whether it's personally in the church or in the community, every area, Father God, you have called them as builders. And Father, help them to do it, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.